Okay, I'm going to take a little poll here. Think about going to Lincoln. Is there anybody here that's not been to Lincoln? I think we've all probably been to Lincoln. Now, there's different ways to go to Lincoln, right? According to Google Maps. I don't know if you've Google mapped Lincoln. Have any of you did that? Besides me, you just kind of know how to get to Lincoln. And maybe it's because it's the way you've always gone. But then there's detours because they have to do road work and things like that. So then maybe you pick a new way because you can't go your old way. Or you don't want to wait in line for the little, what is that called? The lead car? Yeah. Feel bad for those people. It's like Groundhog Day. Those little pilot cars, that's what they're called, right? Yeah. If you do Google Maps, Ken did, so he knows this. One day, I can't remember. So I go to Lincoln at least once a month, sometimes multiple times a month for my training at the guard base. And my favorite way to go is to just go down through Columbus and down 15 all the way to Seward, then all the way to I-80, and then jump on the interstate and go into Lincoln, because that's the side the base is on anyway. But there was a time where they were resurfacing Highway 15, if you remember that, and there was this pilot car and lots of waiting, and so I decided to do Google Maps and see what the alternate routes were. And there is a route through Valparaiso. Any of you go that route? Raise your hand if you go through Valparaiso. Okay, maybe not quite half of you do that. Do y'all go that way usually? How many of you go that way usually? Anybody? Anybody that crazy? I am sorry. Sometimes when I'm driving, I just zone out. And that corner to Highway 15, it kind of sneaks up on you when you go south there. Any of you had that sneak up on you? All of a sudden, I'm like, where's Highway 15? And I look up, I'm like, oh man, I missed it. And now I have to go through Valparaiso. Oh, that's a painful way. But it's not my preference. Actually, Google Maps takes you through Valparaiso. That's the shortcut to Lincoln. To me, that's the long way. It supposedly saves gas, too, which by the time you go through all those hills, I don't think you're saving much gas. And through the town, you have to slow down, speed up, slow down, speed up, around all the curves. I don't think Google takes that into account. But anyway, it's a shortcut, I guess. Whether you like it or not, some of us like that route because it's the way we've always gone, or maybe because it's the scenic route. There's tons of deer over there, too. You know, I don't like deer and highways. But anyway, you could call it a shortcut according to Google. That's the shortest way there. So whether you like that or not, or prefer a more straight route, the world offers all kinds of shortcuts. So we talked about that in Bible class this morning as well. We see in our text today from John chapter 14, if you turn back to that text, I'm going to refer to that amazing section of scripture here. Really, Jesus, over and over and over and over again, he says it in many different ways, but his message is follow me. And it's not only referring to the way to heaven, but it's also, he wants us to follow him in our lives until we get to heaven. Because the world offers all kinds of, we could call them shortcuts, that seem to be the right way to live. And as sinners, they look attractive to us. They may seem to make sense, or helpful, be helpful to us, and even maybe bring us some kind of happiness. The disciples, too, faced the world's so-called shortcuts. And so we pick up the conversation in verse 4 between Jesus and the disciples here, so you can follow along with me if you would like. Verse 4 is where I'm going to start. Jesus says to them, "You know the way to the place where I am going." And speaking for the other disciples, Thomas said, they did not know where he was going, so how could they know how to follow him there? And in his answer to Thomas's question, Jesus said one of the seven famous I am statements. These two words, it's a be verb, right? I am. In the Greek language, this is a very intense way of to refer to oneself. It would be comparable to saying, I, myself, and only I am. Several other times in the Gospels, we find Jesus using these same words. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus quotes from the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, where God uses the same intensive form of this be verb, I am. He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. In this context, the Jews clearly understood that Jesus was claiming to be God because they picked up stones to stone him for equating himself with God. Again, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, I am with you always to the end of the age. When the soldiers came seeking Jesus to arrest him, he told them, I am he they were looking for. And then the soldiers, after he said that, fell to the ground in fear and trembling. These words, I am, reflect the very name of God to include all power, all authority, and all glory. And Jesus claimed it as his own. So, back to these next two words in verse 6. He says, I am, help me out. What is it? Two words. The way, everybody. The way. You know, Christians didn't call themselves Christians. The first Christians were actually called Christians in Antioch. And then the word kind of caught on because they were Christ followers. Before they were called Christians, they were actually called the Way. In a sense, Jesus, he didn't say that, notice, he is a way, did he? He used the definite article of the way. It's not an indefinite article of a way. It's the way to distinguish himself as the only way, no other way. In a sense, Jesus is saying to his disciples, okay, men, there's no shortcuts here. Don't be confused. Here's clarity. Follow me. There's no other pathway to heaven. No other way to the Father. Peter then reiterated this himself later in his sermon to those in Jerusalem on Pentecost. In Acts chapter 4, he said, salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven to given to men which we must be saved. What are the next two words? I am the way. What's the next one? All together. You're like the choir. The truth. Jesus is referring to himself here as, again, the only truth. While on trial, interesting, Pilate asks Jesus, what is truth? People are desperate for answers today of what is truth. The truth is that semi-trucks don't stop very fast. Do they? Not when they're going 65 or 70. When they're on I-80, they don't stop very fast. Whether you agree with me or not, doesn't change the fact that they do not stop very fast. Psalm 119 verse 142 says, "Your law is the truth." God has written His law on every human heart so that no one has an excuse. We are different than the animals who operate on instinct. God has given us as human beings a conscience to know what is right or wrong based on God's law. We certainly can subdue God's truth that He's put on our hearts. We can justify our behaviors all we want to, but it doesn't change God's truth. In fact, Jesus said that He, too, being truth, He came to fulfill all of the law and the prophets' demands. Jesus, as the incarnate Word of God, is the source of all truth. Which brings us to the final two words, which are? Everybody? The life. That's right. So, Jesus is referring to Himself as the life. He's telling His disciples about His upcoming death. And now He's claiming to be the source of all life. In John chapter 10, Jesus declared He was going to lay down His life for the sheep. And then He was going to bring it back up again. He spoke of His authority over death and life that was granted to Him by the Father. In verse 19, He gave the promise that because I live, you also will live. This deliverance that He provided wasn't a political or a social deliverance, but it was deliverance from a life of bondage to sin, which ends up in death. And instead, He offers a life of freedom in eternity forever. But we don't have to wait until we die. Again, in John chapter 4, verse 25, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word, believes Him who sent me, has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but he has passed from death to life." Now, in my family, every Friday night, we do the Friday night blessing. And all the kids just sit right where they're at, and I walk around them and speak scripture over them. One of the scriptures is John chapter 20, or chapter 4, verse 25, that I just said. We don't have to wait until we die to know that we'll be with Jesus. Jesus came here for us. That's why we don't have to wait. Jesus, in these words here today, He was declaring Himself as the great I Am. There are no shortcuts to heaven. There's only one way. And Jesus is it. He is the true measure of righteousness. He's the source of both physical and spiritual life. And Jesus did all of this so that the disciples and all who follow Him would be able to face the dark days ahead, to carry on the witnessing, the mission of Jesus' life, His death, His resurrection that brings hope that this world cannot provide and that is so desperate for. So how do we follow Him? It's not that complicated. You know, we know this word follow. We follow people on Instagram and all these social medias. Talking about that a few sermons ago, right? We follow, right? We click follow. And now we can follow whatever they're doing. When they're in the bathroom, they're in their bedroom, they're, you know, skydiving. We can follow them. So Jesus is saying for us to follow Him. The same way that the disciples did. They didn't get it right the whole time Jesus was on earth. They kept having questions, and Jesus would be like, oh, even in our text today, come on. Come on, guys. Right? After he ascended, they started to get it. So what did they do? They heard the words of Jesus, and they believed them. They took his words to heart, and they obeyed them. They didn't do it perfectly, but they confessed their sin and were forgiven. They claimed his love, his mercy, his grace, and moved on and witnessed that. They believe he died and rose to give them new life. They followed his command to tell others the truth. We know that the truth offends. Jesus told us that. We pray that in our prayers here in a little while. For following him, there's a cost. But Jesus paid the price for that cost. Only Jesus can say that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That no one comes to the Father except through him. Amen and amen.